You're listening to Pigs in a Podcast, the official podcast of K-Pig Radio. Well, hey out there, I'm Michael Gaither of K-Pig, and as I always say, thanks for taking the time to listen to these interviews that I have the pleasure of sort of editing and reposting. Here at The Pig, we get to play a lot of music that you might not hear other places, and we enjoy talking to those artists almost as much as we enjoy playing their music. This series is a recap of some recent interviews from The Pig. Some are done when the artists are in town and come by the studio and play and talk live. Sometimes, as in the case of this one, they're talking in from the road before they're phoning in from the road before they come and play here in town. Case in point, Warren Haynes, who you probably know from his time with the Allman Brothers Band, founding member of Government Mule, solo projects, and just a fantastic guitar player. You know his music. You're listening to this interview. Did a solo show at the Rio recently, and before he came into town, he phoned in and talked with Mojo about the tour and some people he's recently played with. I won't spoil it. I'll let Joe talk to him about that. So there's that. Also, a quick note, you can find this podcast anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. If you have a podcast catcher out there somewhere, you can find this or just go to kpig.com and pick them up there. Because we are a live radio station, sometimes the tech doesn't always behave, as in the case of this one. So the very beginning of this interview was missing, but I'm going to pick it up and send you into the conversation that Joe was having with Warren, talking about the tour he's on and some of the people he recently played with. So let's go right to that now.
We were last here with the Warren Haynes Band. I know you kind of had a number of other stops. Then you went over to Europe and performed with Bonnie and Bonamassa?
Yeah.
How'd all that go?
Oh, it was great. Bonamassa and I are doing some stuff later this year with Government Mule and Joe. We have I think six shows or maybe more together. And playing with Bonnie is always just a blast, you know. But something about being overseas when that happens makes it even more special. You know, we're all away from home. We don't know that many people. And then these family reunions kind of happen and we wind up on stage playing together, and it's just really cool.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, and then I read somewhere that Million Voices Whisper sold really well. Is that true?
As far as I know, I haven't really paid that much attention to it statistically, but the reaction has been great, and I'm really happy about that, you know, because it's kind of another side of me that some people know and some people don't.
We play a lot of from that album, we play a lot of them here on K-Pig. Yeah. Especially when I'm in the sty. Hey, and then you recently did the Colbert Show?
Yeah, that kind of came about by happenstance. I'm friends with Louis Cato, who is the band director on that show.
Uh-huh.
And we ran into each other at this benefit. There's a thing here in New York City called Soho Sessions, where I did something there recently with Keith Richards and with Mavis Staples. And they're constantly doing these great benefits. And so I was there one night, and Louis was there, and we were just talking. And he said, hey, I'd love for you to come sit in with the band before the show gets finished. And I was like, oh, well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I would love for you to come and join Government Mule on New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
And so we just kind of traded favors. He came down and sang two Marvin Gaye songs and an Al Green song during our 1971 tribute set on New Year's Eve. And then I went and sat in with those guys for the Colbert Show, and it was great.
I had a number of folks, you know, telling me, hey, Warren's going to be on, you know, that program. And I set up my thing to record it, right, because I don't know what I was doing when it was live, probably sleeping. and I watched it, and I thought you were going to sit in the chair and talk to him. So,
well, I would have preferred that, but that wasn't the invitation. The invitation came through the band.
Yeah.
Come sit in with the band.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Because for us, you know, you get the commercials, right? So you only get that little snippet, right?
Yeah, we're playing for the live audience, you know. And I think a few things made it online and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But Yeah, it was an interesting thing, and the band was fantastic.
Oh yeah, the snippets that we got, it was awesome. You know, and other things that have happened. I mean, golly gee, we've lost a lot of great people in this last year. More recently, Bobby, and I know you were pretty close to him. Do you mind saying anything about, you know, last time you spoke with him and stuff like that?
That's such a huge loss. You know, I was honored to have played with Bob and all those guys so many times. You know, I did the two tours, I guess, 2004 and 2009, where we just were called the Dead. But Bob and I go back, I think we first played together 2001, because, you know, I had started playing with Phil Lesh in the late 90s. And at that time, Phil and Bob were not really playing together. And then a couple of years later, we did a thing at the Beacon, a benefit, and Bob came and joined us. And that's really when he and I started kind of hanging more and playing together more and stuff. But he was just such an inspiration as a human being and as a musician and as a songwriter. I mean, some of those songs are going to be here for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And it's just, there are very few people that can say that they wrote songs that are going to live forever, but Bob's written some timeless tunes that can be interpreted so many different ways. I miss him so much. You know, we had not too long ago, he and I and Dave Matthews wound up doing something on stage together, and it was so poignant and so fun. We were just playing mostly acoustic. I think I played a little bit of electric, but just playing stripped down with no band and harmonizing, and we commented on the way our three voices blended together, and we all kind of said the same thing, which was, you know, we should try and make room to do this, you know, even if it's just a handful of dates or a little mini tour or something, mm-hmm. you know. And it was talked about here and there, but we never did have a chance to bring it to fruition. I really would have loved that. But, you know, all my times on stage playing with Bob, it was just always a joyous experience. He was still forward-thinking. More so than anyone could imagine. He wanted every performance to be different from the last, mm-hmm. every interpretation of the next song to be different than it was ever done before. You know, I just admired him so much on so many levels.
Yeah. When's the last time you spoke with him?
It's been a few months, mm-hmm. but and once he got sick, you know, I wanted to reach out, but it just wasn't meant to be. We never were able to communicate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And there was a whole bunch of other K-Pig artists that we play that we lost this last year. It's been kind of tough. But we all got to go.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, and hopefully with the attitude that Bob had about it was pretty inspiring. I hope that when the time comes, I can have that attitude, you know.
I think you have a great attitude. you recently remixed Tales of Ordinary Madness. And I was recently thinking, you know, when you go and you make a recording and then you walk away from it and don't listen to it for a long time, you know, and you go back and you go, oh, well, hey, that was good. I'll leave it alone. Or so when you did, was this a situation where you went back and went, oh, I think I want to blah, blah, blah?
Well, we recorded Tales of Ordinary Madness in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And the records at that time were still sonically held over from the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Everything still had a lot of reverb, a lot of processing and production. That's just the way records were made at that time.
Yeah.
And a few years later, somewhere around 94, 95, people started getting back to the more organic approach of making records. Now, everything was recorded live on analog tape. It wasn't that. It was just more the sonic approach.
Yeah.
But I always secretly wanted that record to have a more timeless mix, for it not to sound like it had a timestamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the 30th anniversary came around, I thought, well, this is the right time to kind of do that. And I happened to run into Missy Colasso, who runs the Megaforce Records. And I mentioned it to her, and she said, yeah, I've been thinking about that too. Let's do it. So we remixed it. Jim Scott, who's a fantastic mixer, remixed it with that in mind and for the 30th anniversary. And we were able to include a bonus track that we never finished back then, which I'm really happy about as well. But yeah, I was always proud of that record, but in the back of my mind, I always wondered what it would sound with a little more organic sound.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now that version is available.
Yeah, I don't have it yet. I plan to get it. I have the original, and I was recently listening to it, and I forgot how much fretless bass was on there. It was very Jocko-ish.
Yeah, Michael Rhodes and Lincoln Schleifer both played fretless on some of those tunes, and they're both fantastic musicians. Michael we lost as well. You know, he played with Joe Bonamassa for years, but Michael and I go back to the 80s when I was living in Nashville. We did a lot of recording together. That record was just kind of a wish list of all my favorite musicians at the time that I wanted to work with, and it was great going back and revisiting some of this stuff. And in the case of the bonus track Tear Me Down, we recorded it with Randall Bramlett playing saxophone and Bernie Worrell playing keyboards, but we never finished it because we were over budget and we were out of time. And we just made the decision, well, we're going to have to scrap Tear Me Down, which broke my heart because it was always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And so when this came about, I went back in the studio and kind of went through all the tracks and put everything back together. And hearing it for the first time in 30 years was like, wow, it brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, I bet. Eddie Kramer recently redid Jimmy's Access Bold as Love. Have you heard any of that yet?
No, I need to hear that, actually. That's maybe my favorite Hendrix record.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. So let's get on to the upcoming solo tour. So by the time you get here, that's going to be show number 4, and it's a solo tour. What sparked this?
I've always wanted to do a tour this way. I've done a handful of shows here and there, but never an actual tour. It's an opportunity for me to express myself in a completely different format. It's like a singer-songwriter time. I play a lot of guitar and stuff, but it's not about that. It's about the songs and my voice and I guess an opportunity to portray the tunes the way they kind of started out before they turned into full-blown
production,
band production.
Yeah.
So, it's not for everyone, but for me, it's a lot of fun. And the people that have been to my shows in the past, I think, are able to kind of see a different side of me, performing. It's different than anything else I do.
Well, we're pretty excited about it. And I'm going to be there. There's going to be a lot of
cool
people. Yeah. So I was looking, and Grass Valley is the first one. It's sold out. Fillmore sold out. Napa is after that. It's almost sold out. Then you come here to the Rio. The Rio is almost sold out. I was looking at it. So I'm encouraging all of our listeners here, if you don't have a ticket yet, there's not much left. Get on warrenhaines.net and score your ticket, because that's going to be Sunday, February 15th at the Rio, and it's going to be great. Are you going to have like a set list that you're going to play from, or you're just going to wing it, or
a little bit of both? You know, the main reason for having a set list is that a lot of the songs are in different tunings.
Yeah.
So I'll put a block of tunes together in one tuning, and then whether or not I follow that sequence remains to be seen. And then I'll do a block of tunes in another tuning and that sort of thing. But even more than Government Mule or the Warren Haynes Band, with these shows, I can kind of just call an audible at any moment and play whatever pops into my head, because I'm the only one that has to know the song.
Yeah. You don't have to turn around and go, hey, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, follow me. But, yeah, you know, I mean, that's such a big part of what we do anyway, is reading the room and not necessarily adhering to the set list. But I need to have something up there so I know which guitar I'm going to play on what song, and that sort of thing.
That makes sense. What if somebody yells Freebird? What are you going to do?
Hopefully respond with a smile.
I'll be sure I'm not the idiot yelling that.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, I take it as it's intended, I guess, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what I always say? Yeah, free beer for everyone.
You know, and the best I could do as a solo artist would be playing the front part, which is actually a beautiful song, and skipping the big jam at the end, but nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. A lot of guys got drunk doing that. Hey, so any new gear you're going to use on this that you're pretty excited about?
I'm bringing some acoustic guitars out that in some cases I've never played on stage before. I have this old Guild from the 70s that I just put a pickup in so I could play it live. And I have a McAllister guitar and a Rockbridge acoustic. And each of those I just had worked on. And I'm kind of looking forward to playing more acoustic guitar on this tour, because a lot of my recent solo shows have been predominantly electric.
Yeah.
Whereas these, I think, are going to be about half and half, that's just a rough estimate. But I want to play a little bit of both, and we'll see. You know, I'm sure it's going to change every night.
Did you do the tweaking on the guitars yourself?
No, a guy near me did it. I don't really trust myself messing with, especially with acoustic guitars, but I probably shouldn't touch any guitar other than playing it, to tell you the truth. I'm not very good at the technical.
I didn't know how much of a gearhead you are, you know, tinkering with stuff, you know.
Well, my guitar tech, Eric Hansen, who's been with me a long time now, it's a big passion for him. He loves all that stuff. And so, you know, he'll swap out pickups and electronics and we're try this, try that. But I'm lucky that I don't have to do all that myself, because I've never been very good at it.
Yeah. Personally, for me, I love doing it. I'm always tinkering.
That's great.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? A couple other things. I know we're going to run out of time here, and we got to do commercials and all that stuff. Let's see. What about your favorite blues greats? Do you have anyone come to mind real quick?
Sun House, mm-hmm. Howlin' Wolf, mm-hmm. Muddy Waters, B.B. mm-hmm. King, one of my all-time heroes. You know, probably before I even became a big blues fan, I was already a B.B. King fan.
Yeah.
Before I picked up guitar, I love B.B.'s voice. And, of course, Freddie King and Albert King.
Freddie, I was going to bring him up,
Freddie, I mean, I always tell people that if Freddie King didn't play guitar, he'd still be one of my favorite singers.
What a voice,
you know. I never got to hear Freddie, live. He passed pretty early on.
He did.
Yeah. But I got to hear Albert King a few times, and Albert's probably my favorite of all the blues guitar players, mm-hmm. you know. But BB was just BB was the centerpiece of all of it. You know, he had it all and turned so many people onto the blues. I'm a huge blues fanatic. Probably spend more time listening to old blues than probably anything else, really.
Yeah. I just recently started doing quite a bit of Albert Collins here on KPIG. I forgot how good he is. Yeah, I just love that guy.
He was great.
Yeah.
He did 2 or 3 weeks opening for the Allman Brothers.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and he sat in with us 3 times.
Wow.
During that time period. And they were all great, but the first time he was just unbelievable. I think he just came on stage to prove a point, you know. And like I say, it was amazing all 3 times, but that first time was just like a whole nother level.
I bet. Hey, so real quick, you into the Super Bowl?
Not in the way that one of my teams is playing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be watching it with friends and you know, enjoying it. But I don't have a personal stake in it.
Yeah. Bad Bunny?
I think what he's doing is great as far as awareness.
Yeah.
And I'm not real familiar with his music. I did enjoy hearing this traditional Cuban thing that I heard him do.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of jazzy. I thought that was really cool. But I thought he was hilarious in the Adam Sandler movie in the Happy Gilmore remake.
Yeah, that.
I thought he was
and then he recently in that. He recently was on Saturday Night Live and just he crushed it.
Yeah,
just crushed
and
it.
And he just seems like a genuine soul.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, what if would you ever consider the craziness that surrounds Super Bowl, and if the opportunity arose, would you perform for half?
You know, it's hard to say because it's not something that I am in awe of, you know, but the opportunities, you know, you can't make light of the opportunities. I remember I've been friends with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top for a long, long time.
He was just here. He was just here.
Yeah, Billy's fantastic. And we played together many, many times. I remember seeing ZZ Top on the Super Bowl one time, and they were obviously lip-syncing.
Yeah.
And Billy, I could see in a kind of understated way, he made light of it by not even having a slide on his finger during the slide solo. And the only thing I could think of that's more obvious than that was I remember seeing Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees one time lip-syncing, and he was singing into the mic, and then he unplugged the mic and started singing into the cord. And I just thought that was beautiful.
That's
you know?
Nuts. That's nuts.
I've never had to lip sync before, and maybe you don't have to in every situation, but
who knows?
You know, I don't know. That's just an alien world.
Yeah, amen. Well, we should probably wrap here. I just want to remind our listeners that you will be here a week from Sunday, the 15th, 8 o'clock show at the Rio. And if you don't have your tickets, please, it's almost sold out. And I would love to see it go sold out because we can't be outdone by Grass Valley. We can't be outdone. Grass Valley is sold out. Come on. This is Santa Cruz, right? Let's sell this show out. Anyway, thank you so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it. And everyone here at KPIG appreciates it. And
my pleasure. Good talking to you again.
Yeah. Wish you a safe trip out here and a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Warren Haynes. Thank you, Mojo. And as I always say, thank you most of all for taking the time to listen to this interview. Coming up on the next episode of Pigs in a Podcast, we'll be listening to Steve Pultz, songwriter Steve Pultz, who was like, if you've never seen Steve Pultz live, he's like nobody you've ever seen. He was on a call with Jamie recently when he was getting ready to come through town. And I talked to Jamie afterwards. It's a great interview. You'll hear this in about a week or so. But I was talking to Jamie afterwards, and Jamie said, Steve Pultz is the closest thing I think we have to a wizard. I want to study the way his brain works. Brilliant songwriter. What a character, and just brilliant. You'll hear about that in about a week. So stay tuned for that. Check out kpig.com. Subscribe to this series wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And you'll hear Steve Pultz in about a week. That was Warren Haynes. Check him out as well. I'll put a link to his site in the notes for this at kpig.com. And thanks for being a pig listener and having interest in this very special music that we love so much. For KPIG, I'm Michael Gaither. We'll talk to you next time. Cheers.